Hello and welcome to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Monger. He's the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. At Light the Way, we believe the most powerful tool we possess when sharing our faith with others is the Word of God. It was the Apostle Paul that said, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ." So as we open the Word together, it's our prayer that you'll not only receive what God has for you, but share what you learn with those you come in contact with. And now, here's Pastor Colin.
If you brought your Bible, would you open it to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4? I heard a story of a rookie lumberjack who was hired onto his first job. And the boss comes to the rookie and says, "All right, son, you got to prove your mettle. I want you to go into this part of the woods, and I want you to cut down 10 trees by lunchtime." Well, the rookie wasn't quite sure he'd be able to do it, and so he said, "I'll give it the old college try, but it's my first day. I can't promise anything." So he goes out into the woods. And he's there for a number of hours, and then he comes back, and he's standing around the table with a bunch of guys from his crew, and everybody's eating lunch, and they're all talking about what they've been doing for the past few hours, talking about how many trees they've cut down. And one guy says, "Well, I've cut down 10 trees this morning." And another guy says, "Well, that's nothing. I've cut down 12. And someone else who could have been Paul Bunyan's descendant said, "Well, I can cut down 15 trees this morning." Well, the rookie just couldn't believe it. He looked at all the men and he said, "I don't understand how you're going so fast. What are you doing to go so fast? I've been working hard. I'm not taking a break. I'm working constantly, I'm giving it all I have, and yet I'm still on my first tree. What is it that you know that I don't?" Well, one of the more experienced lumberjacks looks to the rookie and he says, "Well, son, do you have a chainsaw?" And the boy says, "Absolutely, I have a chainsaw. I can't believe you would think I'd come out here without a chainsaw." And so the experienced lumberjack says, "Okay, well, is your chain sharp?" And he says, "Of course it's sharp. I just bought this chainsaw yesterday." "Okay, well, are you cutting at the right angle, son? You see, you got to cut at the right angle." And he says, "I'm cutting at the right angle. I'm doing everything you're doing." And the rookie says, "I just can't understand what I'm doing wrong." So the other man says, "Well, let me see your chainsaw." And he hands it to him, and he pulls the cord, and the engine fires to life. And the rookie's eyes get about as big as saucers, and he says, "What is that noise?" Moral of the story is make sure your guidance counselor gives you good advice in high school. Not everybody is for every job. The other moral to the story is everything in life has a purpose. And if you try and use something the wrong way, it will be frustrating. And likewise, every person in the world has a purpose. God made you with specific skills and abilities and talents and passions for a reason. He gave you a passion in life for a reason. He has a plan for your life. He created you for a purpose. It says in Jeremiah 29, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for a future and for a hope." And just like it can be frustrating to use a tool for the wrong job, going through life and not fulfilling the purpose that God has for that life will lead you to frustration. That's the idea behind our message this morning. The idea of service, that you were created to serve the Lord in a specific way. God designed you for that. We've been going through this series called The DNA of a Godly Church. And if you notice in the bottom right, it says service. A godly church is a serving church. And that's what we want to look at this morning. And so I ask you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter 4. We're going to look at only one verse today, verse 10, where it says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. You know, one of the first things I notice about that verse is the reality of life is everyone has a gift. Everyone has something to offer. He says right here in verse 10, "As each has received a gift." He doesn't say as each may receive a gift or get ready for something that might happen one day in the future of your life, but he says as each has already received a gift. It's already happened. God has given you this gift in your life. Everyone has it. The problem is we live in a world that doesn't recognize that very much. We live in a world that doesn't see God's gifting for what it is. We live in a world that would put more monetary value on someone who can throw a football down a field than someone who would take a tractor down a field. We live in a world that would say pretending to be a soldier on TV is worth more money than being one in real life. We live in that kind of a world. And because of that, countless people go through life never recognizing what God has put in their life to make them special. And yet, when we look at the Bible and we read what it says about what God considers to be important, we find in almost every case, God's economy of importance is very different than the world's. The world would say, do everything you can to be first in line, first in life. And yet Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 20, the first will be last, and the last will be first. The world would say, climb the corporate ladder, chase the paycheck, go for the promotion. But Jesus said in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The world would say, some people are lucky enough to be gifted in something, and the rest of us just kind of have to muddle along. But here we read in 1 Peter 4, as each has received a gift, everyone has something to offer. That is a universal truth. But it's also true that although gifting is universal to all people, it is original to each person. And I say that because of the way verse 10 ends. He says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards, here it is, of God's varied grace. You have a gift that is special to you. Everyone has something they're called to do. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, having gifts that differ according to the grace given. Every person has something, but not every person has the same thing. We have a God of variety. We have a God who will give you a gift that he won't give someone else, and vice versa. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul tells us again, now there are varieties of gifts, he writes, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Every single person has a gift, but that may be different than everyone else. How boring would it be if everyone had the same gift? How boring would that be if everyone in your family and everyone in your circle was good at the same thing? How intimidating would that be? I remember one of the very first sermons I ever preached in front of a church was in this tiny little Mennonite church in Springfield, Ohio. I got up and I preached a message out of the New Testament and came to find out later on that about 5 out of 15 people in that church were New Testament scholars at the local college. And here I am thinking, what am I going to tell them? They know way more than me. Here I'm trying to learn it myself, but these guys teach it for a living. Everyone has something different. Peter says right here, each has received a gift of God's varied grace. Everyone has something. You know, I was reading this past week, scientists estimate about 2,000 new species of life are discovered every single year. That's 5 a day. 5 new species per day are discovered on this earth. And despite the fact that that happens all the time, they believe only 1/4 of all life on earth has been cataloged. In Psalm 19, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And here Peter says in verse 10, as each has received a gift of God's varied grace. We have a God of variety. We have a God who created the vastness of heavens. And the same God that did that very thing created every one of you. And he created me. And Moses tells us in Exodus 35, he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill and intelligence and knowledge and all craftsmanship. The reality of life is you have been given something. You are good at something. You have been gifted in something. You are uniquely equipped for a call. 2 Timothy 3 says, equipped for every good work. Psalm 139 puts it this way, fearfully and wonderfully made. That is the reality of life. God has given you a gift. Why is it that two people can both sit down at the same piano and one person can make a sound that will move you to tears and the other one will make a sound that will move you to the door? Why is it two people can pick up the same paintbrush and one creates a masterpiece that inspires generations of artists, the other creates a mess? Why is it that my dad, for example, is great at understanding computer science, but I, for the most part, can't figure out how to turn those things on? It isn't genetics. We come from the same line, obviously. It isn't education. I have more college than my dad. It isn't physical stature. We can both push those buttons with the same level of force and intentionality. It's for no reason except for what Peter says here. Each has received a gift, and it's of God's varied grace. You have received something that is unique to you. And notice how Peter assumes God has already given it, but also he assumes you've received it. He says, as each has received a gift. Now, if I handed you something and you stretched out your arms to receive it and I put that thing into your hand and you received that to yourself, you might say you received a gift. But you know, that's not at all what Peter's talking about. In Greek, the word for receive implies excitement. It implies taking hold of something. There's a force in this kind of receiving. It's making it yours, taking ownership, taking charge over something. You know, I was reading that this week, and I couldn't help but think of our kids on Christmas morning and how we sit around the Christmas tree and we'll call out the name for whoever's gift it is we're holding. They will push each other to the ground to get to that gift. That's what Peter has in mind. Pursuing God's gift with everything you have, moving everything out of the way, receiving that with force. You know, one of the saddest things to see in life is when a person wastes what God has given, when they throw it away. You are not just an animated bunch of cells. You were created for a purpose. You were gifted by God for that very purpose. That is the reality. But we also have a responsibility. And notice how Peter says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. There it is. That's our part, to use what God has given us. God didn't give us gifts and abilities and skills for the sake of doing it. It wasn't like he had a mountain of scientific understanding left over and he said, well, there's that Einstein guy. We'll just throw it onto him because I have nothing else to do with it. God gave you something for the reason that he wants you to bless others. That's your responsibility, to use it to serve one another. It's a great word, serve, by the way. It comes from the Greek word diakonos, which is actually the word we get deacon from. Now, a deacon is a noun, but this word is a verb. This is an action. This is literally a servant in the act of serving, doing something that God has called them to do, using their gifts to carry out that purpose. Now, as soon as I say that, I know there will be someone who says, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what my gifts are. I don't even know about how to go about discovering what my gifts are. I don't seem to be better at anything than anyone else. And to that person, I would say, ask yourself two questions. First of all, what are you passionate about? What do you love doing that is not self-serving? And I say not self-serving because shopping, to be honest with you, is probably pretty self-serving. There are things we're all good at that serve ourselves, but what are you good at? What are you passionate about? What do you like to do that could help someone else in some way? And I say start with that question because the Bible tells us in Psalm 37 to delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. You see, when a person submits their life to God, and the Holy Spirit moves in and starts rearranging the furniture and changing the heart, he gives you a desire for the plan that he has for your life. And so what is that? What are you passionate about? What has God given you to be passionate about for the service of others? The second question you ask is, what abilities do you have that make that possible? Answer those two questions and you will arrive at your spiritual gift. Your gifts will lead to your calling and your calling will lead to your service. James tells us in James chapter 1, every good gift is from above. And here Peter says to take that gift and use it to serve one another. But also notice how Peter says each has received a gift. In other words, no one is exempt from service. Everyone has been gifted. Everyone is called to serve. Do you remember when Jesus was with his disciples at the Last Supper? There were 12 of them at this point. Although Judas Iscariot will leave, he is still there at this moment. They've come into the room, and Jesus could have taken this opportunity to do almost anything. He could have talked about heaven. That would have been fine. He could have done another miracle, and that would have been fine. He could have talked about how great he is. He is God in the flesh. That would have been fine. But he didn't do any of those things. He took the opportunity to teach a lesson of service. He put on the apron of a slave. And he got on his hands and knees and he washed their feet. And in doing so, he showed that no one is above serving other people. No one is too good. Jesus said in John 13, a servant is not greater than his master. Well, our master served others. And so here Peter says, do the same thing. As each has received a gift, by the way, that came from God. Use that God-given gift, he says, to serve one another. Now, we've been talking a lot about serving other people, but it needs to be balanced because Peter balances this as well. He says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Whatever God has given you is unique. It's special. It really is. Even if it seems like other people have the same gift, they don't have the same gift. In other words, no one else can share God's love with the world the way you can. No one else has your insight and your experience and your life and your personality. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2 that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. He has a plan for your life and he wants you to fulfill that destiny. That's why God chose more than 40 authors to write the Bible and four of them just for the Gospels. It wasn't because none of them could write well. It was because every one of them had something different to contribute. Every one of them had a different past and a different life and a different understanding. That's why when people ask the question, why are we as a church doing this too? Aren't there other people doing that very same thing? Aren't all the churches online? Aren't other churches on the radio? Aren't other churches doing this? Why are we doing that too? And the answer is because we believe, and I believe, that God has equipped our church to share his message in a very certain way. And no one else can do our job. And no one else can do your job. And so Peter says here in verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it. Use that gift to serve someone else. It's there for a reason. But it also tells us something else. Don't worry about the rest. As you have received a gift, use it to serve other people. Don't let the things God hasn't put in your life distract your attention from what he has. Your responsibility is to use the gift God has given you, not to worry about the ones he hasn't. That's the trap of the enemy, and it leads nowhere but frustration. It was Albert Einstein who very famously said, "Everyone is gifted. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it'll live its whole life thinking it's stupid." And likewise, if we go around judging our success in life by the stuff God has not called us to do, you will live every day thinking you're a failure. Your responsibility is to use what God has given you. That's your focus. That's your job. Don't worry about this stuff. It's none of your business. This is what God has given you. To use our gift in a way that we've been called to do, to serve one another. And no one can do that for you. It was Dr. Seuss who said, and it's actually, I think, on the wall of our preschool just down the hallway, "Today you are you, and that's truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you." And so Peter says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. And so the reality is God has given you a gift. Everyone has one. Our responsibility is to use that very thing to serve other people, not inwardly, but outwardly, to show the love of God in the world in the way that he's called us to do. And finally, as we close, we see that we do that out of relationship. Notice how Peter says at the very end of verse 10, as good stewards of God's varied grace. Do you remember the parable of the talents in Matthew 25? Jesus told a story of a master who was leaving, and he had three servants. And he gave one servant 5 talents, and the other servant he gave 3 talents, and the third servant he gave 1 talent. Now, if you don't know what a talent is, in modern money, it was about $30,000 to $40,000. That was the sum we're talking about, but we know it's an analogy of ability. Each one was given something different according to God's varied grace. And so the master gave the servant the talent. He gave them the tools. He gave them the skills and trusted them to use it in a positive way. And 2 of them did. And he called them good and faithful servants. But the third servant buried it in a field. He wasted his gift. Didn't do anything with it whatsoever. And the master came back and said, you wicked and lazy servant. He says, you've been a bad steward. Well, here, Peter says, don't be a bad steward. He says, be a good steward. Use what you've been given to bless others. Use it to serve others. But you know, what I find most interesting about this part of the verse is the word Peter uses for steward. In Greek, it's the word oikonomos. And it's a very interesting word because it's not talking about a regular employee. This word, oikonomos, refers to somebody who was born into slavery, was freed by their master, and who stays on to serve out of love. This is not a slave. This is not a born free employee. This is someone who was born into bondage, freed, and now serves out of relational love. Not out of condemnation, not out of force, but out of their desire to serve. And I thought that is exactly what we are, isn't it? At the end of the day, aren't we just a bunch of people who were born into bondage, who were freed by our master and now choose to serve out of love? You know, when I was a cop, we used to park cars, empty police cars on the side of the road. And some officers would even be given their cars to drive home and use on personal business. And a lot of people criticized that policy. But, you know, we found it increased what we called voluntary compliance. Because nobody knows there's no cop sitting in that car on the side of the road when you're 100 yards away. Everyone just hits their brakes. And nobody knows if that officer is on duty or off duty. They're just driving around. And so it increased what we called voluntary compliance. People who were willing to do the right thing and follow the rules without being forced. We didn't have to take them to a judge or give them a ticket or arrest them. They did it on their own. Well, God doesn't want forced service. He wants a willing heart. He wants someone who will choose to serve even though they are free not to. 2 Corinthians 9, Paul tells us God loves a cheerful giver. God wants a cheerful giver. He wants a cheerful servant. I read a statistic that is very well known. 20%, it says, 20% of people in any given church will do 80% of the work in that church. It's a universally true statistic for all churches throughout the United States. 20% do 80% of the work, and I will tell you, that is a problem. Because 100% have been gifted. 100% have something to offer. And it breaks a pastor's heart to hear 4 out of 5 believers in the world are burying their talents in a field. God created you for a reason. He gave you the ability to live that out. He placed a call on your life to use what he's given you to bless someone else, to serve other people. And so Peter says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace.
You've been listening to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Munger, the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. If you'd like to hear this message again, stop by our website at lighttheway.org. Not only will you find an archive of Pastor Colin's teachings there to listen to, but there you can find out more about our ministry. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," and we want everything we do and say to revolve around that. If you'd like to get behind what we're doing, please visit lightthewayradio.org and learn how you can become a light partner. When you do so today, we'll say thanks by sending you a free copy of Pastor Colin's book, Meet Jesus. In this book, you'll discover 7 miracles of Jesus and the 7 I Am statements he gave in the Gospel of John. All of it was done so we would have a better understanding of him as God. Again, to become a light partner or just receive more information, log on to lightthewayradio.org. Thank you for listening today, and come back next week as Dr. Colin Monger once again delivers another helpful message from God's Word to help us light the way. In the meantime, remember to be a light to someone this week.